Hi, folks, and welcome to Mountain Talk here on WMMT. I'm Parker Hobson. So March 26th is National Diabetes Alert Day, an annual call for all of us to think about our diabetes risk, whether in terms of how we're managing diabetes if we have it, or if we don't have it, some ways we can hopefully keep it that way. And while this year's Diabetes Alert Day is still a few weeks away, here on Mountain Talk today, we thought we'd get a head start on it with a show all about dealing with diabetes here in the mountains. And when it comes to the local picture, East Kentucky sadly has higher rates of type 2 diabetes than the state and national averages. But local health professionals will tell you that even though diabetes is common here, there are still a bunch of misconceptions about it. Like the fact that diabetes is preventable, even if it runs in your family. Or the fact that you can have diabetes without even knowing it, because symptoms can sometimes be slow to show up. That was the case for Melissa Moore from Perry County, who had no idea she had type 2 until going in one day for a routine checkup with her doctor. After the initial shock of getting diagnosed, though, Melissa started meeting regularly with Ashley Webb, a diabetes educator from Appalachian Regional Healthcare, or ARH. And for today's show, as part of our ongoing series, Prevent Diabetes EKY, we sat down with both Melissa and Ashley at the ARH clinic in Hazard to hear about Melissa's journey in going from a surprise diabetes diagnosis to starting to do something about it, and now, as she says, to feeling better all around.
My name is Ashley Webb. I'm the System Diabetes Education Coordinator for Appalachian Regional Healthcare.
Okay, my name is Melissa Moore. I am a retired teacher from the Perry County School System. I was a school librarian for almost 20-some years, so, and I taught math. So, and I am a diabetic, so.
Yeah, well, I've got more questions about all that, but real quick, where did you teach in Perry County?
I taught at A.B. Combs and at Perry Central. I started my teaching career at Cordia in Knott County.
Oh, cool. And what part of the county are you from?
I am from a place called Beulah, Heiner.
Great. Well, thanks so much. So on this edition of WMMT's show Mountain Talk, we're talking about Diabetes Alert Day, which happens every March. And it's sort of a nationwide call for us to think about diabetes and things in our lives that might be causing it. And maybe we are at risk and don't even know. Just a nationwide sort of reminder to have it on your mind. And so I know you mentioned that you're diabetic, Melissa. How are you two connected, you and Ashley?
Ashley is my diabetic educator. I was diagnosed probably 5 years ago. And Trina diagnosed me. It was out of the blue. Came in for a regular checkup, and my A1C, she thought to notice it, and it was up. And so we started working with that, just kind of on our own. Ashley came into our lives, 6-7 months ago?
In September.
September, and I've been doing classes with her and going to the support groups and have had so much success with my A1C coming down. So it's been a godsend. And she puts it in terms I can understand. It's not like, oh, you have to do this and this. I am not a healthy eater. I will admit that. I like it easy. I like to get stuff. And she said, okay, this is what you got to look at. This is what you got to do. Put it in terms I could understand. And from the first time I saw her, to my last A1C, my A1C has dropped down 1.1 point, which is huge in 3 months. Yeah. So.
That's a huge drop for 3 months.
Yes. Yeah. We were all shocked. I'll just be honest. And it was very little change I made. It was just information I needed to know. And to know that I have somebody that if I've got questions or if I just need some support, she's readily available to me. You know, I might not be able to come over here, but I can send her a message and she's always been there to answer me. Even at midnight, I think I sent her one. I love this program, I'll just be honest.
Well, that's amazing. And so I want to ask some more questions about the program and how it works. But if you don't mind, could you take us back to that moment where you first got diagnosed? You said it kind of came out of the blue. So what led you to just get a checkup that day? And what was that moment like when you heard that?
Well, I just came for a regular checkup. And I went home. You know, they did the labs. And my provider called. And she said, well, I noticed your glucose was up. And I said, well, I just ate before I came. She said, well, I went ahead and had them run an A1C. And she said, no, you are up there. And she said, you need to come back in. We need to talk. It was shocking. But now I have been around diabetics. My father was in his early life. He got that under control. But I was adopted, so I didn't know if mine was biological. And, you know, we've always known. I don't know medical history. They have had me since I was 6 months old. But I knew what it meant. I knew what I was going to have to do. And like I said, you know, I was shocked. I really was. Because I was diagnosed with low blood sugar. That was when I was 18. Complete opposite. I had to eat every 2 to 3 hours. I had to, because when my sugar dropped, I went out. And Dr. Wicker said, just watch, when you get older, it might turn. And so that's what's happened. I hit 50 and it turned. But I was shocked. I really was, because as a teacher, I tried to exercise. We had a group. We would do stuff after work just to relieve stress. So I was fairly active. So I never would have thought. But, you know, you have to deal with it. So that's what I'm doing.
Did you have any kind of signs in your body that anything was off in any way? Or was it totally out of left field?
Mine was out of the blue. I'll just be honest. Mine just came. I probably should have known, but, you know, I didn't feel off. I still, in my mind, had the low blood sugar. So if I was having a low, I knew to get me something to eat. But I didn't check my glucose all the time or anything like that. I just knew how my body felt. And I didn't have it any different. And so, yes, you know. I just didn't know.
And I know that that's something that can happen, that people can have it and have no idea. Is that something that's you see a lot, Ashley?
I do, because a lot of the symptoms sometimes are the same that we may think, oh, we're just getting older, so our vision's getting blurry, or we're just getting more tired. But really, it can be diabetes creeping up. You know, the symptoms of, you know, feeling thirsty, you know, urinating more often, feeling tired, blurred vision. Those are some things that we can just usually put off onto other reasons, especially if we're maybe in a little bit of denial too. But yes, getting checked at least once a year with your family provider, that's a great way to keep up on your lab work.
And when you say getting checked, is that getting an A1C test? Is that doing other kinds of stuff?
Yeah, so going in for just a yearly physical can be, you know, your weight, your blood pressure, cholesterol, glucose, A1C, all of those would be included in your overall yearly physical.
Well, so back to your sort of moment of getting this news, Melissa, how much, you said you were around it, your dad had it, but how much did you know about diabetes and how it sort of worked in your body?
Not as much as I thought until I came to Ashley, and she sat down there at our first meeting and explained to me, because we hear popular opinion, low carbs, high protein, da-da-da. I came to Ashley and she said, no, you need to have this many carbs per meal. Well, I wasn't doing that. I had way lower. And she explained to me why you had to have the carbs and the proteins and how it helped with all the scientific stuff. You know, so I didn't know as much as I thought I did. And things have changed greatly from when my dad had it, of how you treat it, you know. So it was eye-opening. It really was. And so glad to be able to have a diabetic educator to sit down with. The best thing that's ever happened to me, I'll just be honest. I've been motivated to, you know, stick to it. Yeah, I can't say I'm perfect. I have my days that I don't even care what carbs I'm eating. And everybody will. But then again, I look at my glucose monitor and I'll see it. And I'll say, okay, snap out of it. This is a lifestyle you've got to live if you want to live as long as you can. So
you got this news that your A1C was in the diabetes range. I think a lot of us have some things in our lives. It's like, I should probably deal with that, but it's really easy to put it off or not want to think about it. It's kind of a big step to really say, I'm going to do something about this. What made you decide to do that?
My A1C started going back up. Because that last time, what was it, 9-something. Mm-hmm. And I worked on it myself and had it down to 8.7. Then I started working with Ashley and it was down to 8.2. And then this last time I was 7.1. So made huge difference that I had somebody there. I know I have to be accountable to somebody. If I'm doing it just for me, it's hard. I'm one of these people, I have to have somebody there to say, hey, you know, you're doing good, or hey, don't do that. And I have the support of my family, but to have this outside help, that's the best thing ever.
I think that's true of a lot of people, mm-hmm. that it's just a lot easier to do something if you're accountable to somebody. Is that something that you found in your work, Ashley?
Yeah, having somebody to lean on, to ask questions to, and to come back in each month and say, you know, I'm doing great. This is some success that I've had. Or, you know, I've fallen off the wagon. How do I get back up and get going again? Having that person to bounce us off of, coming in and being able to cheer with the educator or the patient, being able to, you know, have that person to rely on whenever you do have questions or have reached a hurdle, I think that's very important in their diabetes journey.
So was it a referral at the clinic to go see Yes. Ashley?
Yes, I come to the Hazard ARH clinic, and once I started coming to Ashley, she informed me of the support groups they have once a month. Love them. You go, you're with people who are doing the same struggle you are. You can sit there and talk. There's always a topic that they have, and we have a speaker. And then we have, here in Hazard, we have a chef who shows a recipe that is diabetic friendly and cooks it for us, and we get to try that. But it's changed my whole outlook on my life right now. I'll just be honest. You know, and everybody thinks about weight loss. It comes after you figure out how to eat, how much exercise you need. I thought you had to kill yourself, I'll be honest, exercise-wise. I actually said, no, 15, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, moving, go for a walk. You don't have to kill yourself. Even just cleaning the house. Just as long as you're not sedentary, just get up and move for a little bit. That's changed my world. Because most of my hobbies are sit-down hobbies. I'm a little bit of a gamer. I love to build Legos. I just do a lot of computer design and different things. So it's all sitting down. So I'm conscious of trying to make myself get up, even if I just walk inside the house real quick, just to make myself move. But knowing that I don't have to kill myself, that as long as I'm getting movement, that really, that was a eye-opener. Because now I won't shy away from exercise, but just knowing I don't have to do the strenuous stuff to be able to keep my diabetes under control as long as I'm moving is the big thing.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And so it reminds me, I've got an Apple Watch and it'll say, hey, you've been sitting here for a while, get up and move around. And I'll get up, I'll walk around, or I'll go outside and just walk around the house. I've been trying to do that more. I have slacked off a little bit, but, you know, I'm getting back into it. And, you know, like I said, I can't praise the program enough and glad that here at ARH we've got this now. You know, we've got this here in Hazard, and I'm so appreciative of it.
Well, I'm curious to ask about the program. So was it a class with other people? Was it a curriculum? Was it one-on-one? How did it work?
It was one-on-one. It's one-on-one. And then with the support group once a month, you're with other people discussing. And the one-on-one time is very important. So you can sit down and just, that first visit, just tons of information. But she took her time with me. And we went through it. I'm a numbers girl. I did teach math also. And so when she said, okay, you need to have 45 grams of carbs to 10 to 15 grams of protein, you know, per meal. All that clicked because, you know, it's numbers. And that's how I look at things. And it's very beneficial. The one-on-one I love. And the sport group I love. It's once a month to get together with the people. That's great. So it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
Well, can I ask you, Ashley, is it a set program that you walk people through when somebody comes in, like Melissa? Could you describe what it is for folks?
Yeah, so we are accredited through the Association of Diabetes Care and Education Specialists, and I was trained through the Kentucky Department of Public Health. I've been a diabetes educator for 10 years and a registered nurse for 20 years. And we come in, insurance will pay for 10 hours, most insurances will pay for 10 hours within the first year of referral. Okay, so like Trina referred Melissa, she has 10 hours to use with me in the first year from September 1st when she was referred up until September 1st of this year. So we space that out and do curriculum throughout the year, throughout those 10 visits. And everybody is different. Everybody is, I meet you where you are in your diabetes journey. So someone may need all 10 of those hours, whereas someone else may come in, you know, get it right from the start, just need a couple of those hours. And whatever that you're lacking, whatever that you're needing that support in, that's where I'll come in and help and explain and try to get you back on track. So then after that, after those 10 hours are up and that first year is up, you get 2 hours with me within the next year, the next following years as a follow-up, and just see how you are doing, back on track, and make sure that everything is going good.
So when Melissa came in, what were some of the big things that you went over together?
Yeah, the first visit, I ask a lot of questions. It helps me know how to help them better. And we go over a lot of carb counting, portion control, time of the days, and why that we need to eat at those certain times of the day. A lot about proteins, why proteins are important. We hear a lot about that, but don't necessarily know why that they're so important. Physical activity and how that, you know, really helps the glucose get inside the cells. We'll talk about medicines if they need, just everything really from head to toe about diabetes. And we don't cram that into the first visit, but I try to hit the most important points in the first visit, and then afterwards, whatever the patient needs.
When you started learning some of these things, I know you mentioned that the amount of exercise was a surprise to you. Was there anything else that was a surprise for you to learn as you started learning more?
Yes, the amount of carbs I was allowed to eat, that was my biggest, 45 grams. That's a lot of carbs from what I was trying to do myself. I had cut it down fairly low. And that was an eye-opener. And I know I came in and I told her, I said, I eat like a fifth grade kid. Give me chicken nuggets, give me chips. That's the type of food. She didn't tell me not to eat them. She told me how to eat, how I could still enjoy them. She said, get the small lunch snack size chips. There's 15 grams in that. You know exactly how many chips you can have. You can have that one little bag, but you can have chips, started, my family, we eat out a lot. We don't cook. It's me and my mom and my sister. So we don't, just the three of us, we do eat out at least one meal a day, about four times a week. And I started just, if I wanted French fries, I knew I had to either get something that didn't have a lot of breading, or if I got a burger, I had to take the bun off. So it was learning how to balance. And I can eat what I like, and I do not feel like I'm on a diet. It's a lifestyle change, and I'm not missing out on the food I love. So I've learned how to counteract and have what I like and still be able to keep my A1C down, which I'm not down to where we need to be. I'm working on that, but it's way down compared to where I was. And to be able to enjoy food that I love, be able to go out to eat. But I have started cooking, trying to do a few less processed foods. That's my goal right now. That's what we talked about the last time I was with Ashley, trying to cook a little bit more and have the more healthy or less processed. I don't want to say healthy. I really don't. Less processed food. Not the microwavable stuff. Actually cooking, And I've noticed, so yesterday for lunch, I had like a piece of lunch meat and piece of bread and stuff. So sugar goes up a little bit higher than normal because it was processed lunch meat. I have my meal I cooked, which was just chicken and enchilada sauce in a crock pot, shredded chicken. We made like chicken tacos. Did not hardly go above where it was supposed to be. Makes a huge difference. You can tell the processed food. But, that's affordable. People buy it. That's what's affordable. I mean, it's expensive to buy the fresh meat, to buy the vegetables and different things like that. So the affordability of it. But you just got to learn, I can do this and still have this. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, you talked about some things that I really wanted to ask you about in terms of eating and some changes that you've made. And that's all really amazing that you've been able to sort of try some things and find some things that work. And I wanted to go back real quick to something you mentioned about being able to eat whatever you want. I think that's might be a misconception that some people have. And could you talk about that? So is it a matter of, you mentioned earlier, portion control? Is that kind of it? Could you sort of explain that to folks?
Yeah, a lot of it is portion control. Our portion as a society has grown so much bigger than what an actual portion is. So that's one of the things that I really focus on is nutrition label reading, and then knowing, how to hold those portions. I encourage people to use the same size plate, the same size bowl, the same size cup. Measure everything for about a month. After a while, you can look at the plate and know how much of the plate the food covers so that you'll know that that's the set amount of carbs that you can have. And so after a while, you don't have to measure. We're such creatures of habit. We eat the same things over and over again, just like Melissa says. After she's done it for a while, you pick up and you remember. So I really tried to let everybody know that you're not limited. Yeah, I'm not going to teach you, you know, no, you can never have white potatoes, or you can never have regular bread again. You just have to know, number one, how that specific food affects your sugar, but also how to eat it, how to incorporate the protein into your meal. You know, like I tell my patients, it's not ideal for me to think that you're never going to have a piece of birthday cake or some sort of a treat. But that's not something that you want to have every day. But if you're going to, you know, celebrate with your family and you don't want to keep yourself from eating the foods that they're eating, know to leave off, you know, your bread, or leave off something with your meal so that you can still have that snack. Eat it close to your mealtime so it's feeding off of the protein from your meal. That way you're still having a little bit, still getting to celebrate, but and you're not depriving yourself of something too. So, you know, and of course that's not every day, but every now and then. But also, you know, talking about whole foods and why that's so important to get, and how the different whole foods affects our body. We talk a little bit about the glycemic index of foods and how fast certain foods turn to sugar compared to others. And so we get into all of that over the course of the year.
I will say, for someone hearing this, it might sound like a lot to have to manage, a lot of things to think about. And I could imagine somebody hearing this being like, this, I don't know if I can do it. This sounds like a lot. What would you say to someone like that?
It's a lot. It is overwhelming, but manage one thing at a time. You know, I started out with just worrying about making sure I had enough carbs to protein ratio. And then after that, then worry about the other stuff. You know, pick one thing. Our next visit that I have with Ashley is going to be about the processed food. We had talked about that the last time. That's what I've got to work on, because that's where I see my sugar spikes. I've got to lessen those if I want my A1C to come down. The biggest thing, I think, that's helped me, and this comes down to insurance, is my glucose monitor. So I don't have to poke my fingers 3 and 4 times a day. And I was horrible at that. I'd be lucky if I poked it in the morning. I've got the Dexcom G7, but I worked with my insurance and my care provider here, because a lot of the insurances do not want you to have this unless you're on insulin. I am not on insulin. I am on oral medication, but it's not insulin. And so we had to work through that. But they're getting better about it. And at first, I obsessed with this. I do check it quite a lot. But the thing is, I know. And if I start feeling funny, I'll check that to see if I'm going down or if I'm up too high. And if I'm going down, if I'm getting ready to hit a low, I know I need to go grab a spoonful of peanut butter or eat something before it goes too low. And so the GCM, that has changed my life a lot too. It's helped a whole lot.
Well, thanks for all that. To go back to something that y'all both mentioned about processed foods, just real quick, I'm sort of curious to ask, why is it better to potentially have fewer processed foods in your diet? Like, what's going on in your body?
Yeah, whole foods is so much better for you.
A whole food, what is a whole food?
You know, your fruits and your vegetables that is not processed, you know, in a factory. You know, the fruits and vegetables that are unprocessed, they will have so much more nutrients and the fibers and everything that we need for our bodies. The processed foods have so many things, so additives, and that will affect our sugar totally different than whole foods.
And I know part of what makes that difficult for folks is part of what something that we talked about earlier is that in a lot of cases, the food that is the least processed can be the most expensive. could you talk about? Is that something that you encounter a lot with folks that you see?
I do. That is a big hurdle for a lot of folks. And ARH is working on projects to help ease that burden for patients. We have food supply pantries in some of our hospitals, hoping to expand to Kentucky River region soon. We have that in our Big Sandy, some of our Big Sandy hospitals right now, where if a person comes in and says that they have food insecurities, we go ahead and give them a food box there, get them set up on programs. The support group is getting ready to be able to give gift cards. We haven't launched that yet here in Perry County, but in Big Sandy, we actually give the ingredients for the diabetes-friendly meals so that they can take those home and make those. That's, you know, one or two less meals that someone has to worry about. In our Whitesburg location, the support group there gets $20 grocery gift cards so that they can go purchase the ingredients themselves. So we're trying to ease the burden a little bit, because we do know that going to the grocery store is a little bit harder on our wallets these days, and healthier foods tend to be more expensive than the easy, you know, processed foods. So that's a battle that we have with diabetes is, you know, having to manage our money to put it towards healthier foods. That's rough.
Melissa, I know you mentioned that you'd started cooking a little more. Is that one of those things that felt a little intimidating at first, or in terms of time? Or I think a lot of us can be like, I don't have time to cook and things like that. Has it gotten a little easier as you've been doing it more?
Yes. I started out, and no, this is probably not the healthiest, but it is not processed food. And my mom's lasagna, I've made it twice now by myself without her help right there. So I'm learning. And some of the recipes we've gotten from the support group, I've made a couple of those. It's just the point, time-wise, so sometimes you just don't feel like getting the house hot and having to do the dishes and everything. But I'm trying, like I said, at least once or twice a week to cook a good meal. And I got leftovers that'll last me a couple days each. So, you know, that's 4 days in the week if you do two recipes. So I'm getting better at it.
As you said, it sounds like it's a lifestyle change that you're saying. And I think we can sort of think in our minds that, like, it happens all at once. But really, some of the most amazing work for us is gradual, because that's the kind of stuff that can really stick.
Yes, it is gradual. You know, mom or grandma always cooked. And most of the time, they didn't want you in their kitchen. let's be honest. But, you know, and now, you know, mom's getting older and doesn't feel like the cooking. But when I start, she's right in there. She wants to tell me what I'm doing. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. That's time with her. And that's precious time. And I'm enjoying every minute of it. I was so glad I retired right now, because she's in good health and we just enjoy ourselves so much right now. And especially she's really enjoying that I'm starting to take that time to cook.
Oh, that's so amazing. You've mentioned some big changes that you've made, or maybe they're not even necessarily huge changes, but it's big to make any kind of change in our lives, sort of having some smaller portions,
yes,
starting to exercise a little more often, and that doesn't even need to be intense exercise, just moving your body most days of the week in some way, eating a little bit different food, cooking a little more. Are there any other kind of small changes that people can make that can go a long way that we haven't talked about so far?
Medicine, you know, making sure that they're taking medicine as prescribed. We talk a lot about what times of the day that they take their medicines. I had a patient that we tweaked the time of the day that he took his long-acting insulin, and that made huge changes for him. So, you know, making sure that you're taking your medicine on time and the right amount, making sure that that medicine is right for you, that is big, along with exercise and the nutrition, and then support. That is, whether you're getting your support from me, your family members, you want to be able to have somebody to turn to. Stress is big within diabetes. And so being able to have somebody that knows what you're going through.
Yeah, maybe let's talk about that. I know you said you started going to the Perry County Diabetes Support Group that ARH puts on. What has that experience been like for you?
Eye-opening that we have so many people with us. And we're starting to get more to come to the group. A lot of people back away and are shy. And I'm not. Like I said, and I think being a teacher is part of that. It's just, I knew, you know, this is something I need to try. But to know there are other people there, I mean, one day we just said, after we had our little lesson on whatever, but while we were sitting in trying our meal, there was another lady there. This was my first one, and I will never forget. Her and her husband was there. She was the one with diabetes, and she was talking about how he counts out her. She likes Cheetos or something, and he counted 15 out for her when she was allowed to have them. But she had her husband there, and he said, I make sure she has the right portions. And just knowing there's other people out there counting, like I was, you know. And I've ran into people who tell me I'm eating too many carbs. They'll say, oh, what they tell you? And I say, oh, that's too many. And I'm like, but she's a diabetic educator and knows what she's doing. And I'm eating this much food and losing weight, and my A1C is coming down, you know.
We're going to cut in here for just a second to hear from some folks who make this radio station possible. But stay tuned after the break for more Mountain Talk. You're listening to Mountain Talk here on WMMT. I'm Parker Hobson. In honor of National Diabetes Alert Day, which is coming up on March 26th, we're dedicating today's show to diabetes and to one local resident's story of getting a surprise type 2 diagnosis and then making some small changes to her routine that have had big results for how she feels every day. We now return you to this conversation featuring Melissa Moore of Perry County and Ashley Webb, a diabetes educator with ARH. I was curious to ask, Ashley, are there some common misconceptions that you run up against? I know we just sort of talked about being able to eat more than you thought you were able to eat. Are there some other things that you find a lot that people are surprised about?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are hesitant to come and talk to me because they think that I'm going to say, you know, you have to eat salad 3 meals a day, or you're totally limited. They hear a lot from the community. They read a lot online and don't, you know that the actual facts. So I say, if I can get people through the door and just meet with them one time, you know, their eyes will be open more. But yeah, a lot of people think that you have to, you know, really restrain yourself on what you can have. They also sometimes think that you may be able to take a little bit more extra medicine and eat what you want. And, you know, that's not what we're wanting either. We want you to really learn the benefits of food and nutrition and, you know, the health benefits for physical activity and getting those into your lifestyle and making it something that you can sustain for the rest of your life.
I know something you sort of tend to hear around here sometimes is, it's in my family, so if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it, and there's not much I can do, or if I've got it, then, well, whatever, you know, there's not much you can do. Is that something that you come up against? And how do you respond to folks when you hear things like that?
Yeah, I hear that quite often. And that is true. Diabetes is hereditary. So if, you know, people in your family have it, you are at a greater risk. But don't let it, you know, hold you back. Don't, you know, not take control over it and then have the consequence of all the complications that can come from diabetes. And, you know, we've seen, you know, people lose their limbs or their eyesight or, you know, have a heart attack or stroke because they have diabetes. And it could, you know, possibly for type 2 diabetes, like, it could have been prevented.
That's actually something I'm glad you brought that up, because with this project that we're doing and talking to people in the region about diabetes, we're wanting to emphasize the importance of diabetes when it comes to your eyes and your kidneys. And I was wondering if you might be able to talk about that a little bit. You just kind of brought up the eyesight, but if it's something that you aren't able to control, or maybe you don't even know that you have it, what are some of the things that can happen when it comes to the eyes and the kidneys?
Well, I'll start out by saying that diabetes can affect almost basically every organ from the top of our heads to the bottoms of our feet. And our eyes, we may contribute that to getting older, but really it can be, you know, a complication from diabetes. Start out as blurred vision and then lead to, you know, more complications. So going to your eye doctor once a year, getting that dilated eye exam, letting them know that you have diabetes, that is really big. Once a person is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, they need to go, you know, within the first couple of months to the eye doctor and get that exam. Let them check out your eyes a little bit more in depth. If there's no complications, that's wonderful right then. But that gives them a benchmark for going forward to know if there's any changes from year to year. And then your kidneys are so very important to our bodies. They filter, you know, all the toxins out of our bodies and our glucose as well. So we want to make sure that we're taking care of those. And, you know, having that yearly checkup with your doctor, like I was talking about earlier, making sure that you're getting, you know, your blood work done, getting your kidneys checked out to catch any complications that can arise early. You know, of course, no complications is the best, but early detection is great, so you can get in and get that taken care of before it turns to something worse.
Melissa, I know you mentioned that you've had it some in your family. Was any of that stuff on your mind when you first got the news about complications and things that could happen?
Yes, my father had some trouble with his eyes. Before he passed, he had already been declared legally blind because he had some of the complications. But knowing that, as soon as I was diagnosed, even before I started seeing Ashley, when I went for my exam, my doctor started seeing me every 6 months. I did have cataracts. That's not really related, but I had my cataract surgeries, and I went in for my follow-ups and all that. And then my last visit, I get the diabetic exam. I mean, I feel like they turn me on my head and look in the back of my eyes. She said, "Your eyes are looking great. They're awesome. I only need to see you once a year unless we start seeing something again." So that's something I've always taken care of, is my eyes. Eyes are important, so important. The kidney function, it gets checked every 6 months. My A1C is checked every 3 months. And foot exams. Trina always gives me a foot exam when I come in for my blood work. So, yeah, I think about that stuff. I think about it a lot. And that's why I'm trying to get it under control. Because not just my dad, I know other people that's have amputations or had dialysis or whatever, because their diabetes wasn't under control, you know. So it scares you. You got to think about it. You just got to take care of yourself, though.
Have you felt different since you've started to take these steps and make some changes? Have you felt different in your body at all?
Yeah, I feel better. I'm not as bloated. I've always felt kind of bloated. I'm not as bloated. I just feel better, period. I feel better. That's the only way I know how to explain it. I feel better mentally, physically. I know that I've got it under control. That helps with the stress of worrying about everything. I know how to deal. I know I have support if I need it, if I'm struggling with something. So, yeah, all I can say is I feel better. You know, it's good to go to, say, get your eyes checked, and I don't need to see you for a year. Your eyes are looking great, you know. And they always ask, I go to Huffman and Huffman, and they always ask, oh, what was your last day 1C? I know they're watching out for me, too. You just got to be up front with your other doctors and let them know, hey, I'm diabetic. That's the key. You can't be ashamed of it. You can't be ashamed. You've got to be able to let people know so they know how to help you.
Yeah, and what you said about the mental change seems like a really big deal. There's something about, I feel like for all of us in life, when a problem just feels kind of overwhelming, there's something about just like knowing that you're taking a step that can make a big difference in how your everyday goes after that.
Yeah, the mental change. Now, I struggled, I'll be honest, when I was first diagnosed. And I find the mental change came in September when I first met with Ashley. I was like, oh, this is not as hard as I thought it was going to be. Even though I'd been dealing with it a couple years before, I'm like, oh, hey, you know, that light bulb went off. You need to chill a bit. You don't have to freak out over this stuff anymore. You've got somebody to guide you to what you need to do. And that took a whole lot of stress off my plate. So, yeah. I mean, I sleep well at night right now. I don't worry about it. Every now and then I might not have my snack and my alarm goes off on my glucose monitor, but I don't freak out over that. I know I just got to get up and get something to eat. So, yeah. Huge. Huge.
Oh, that's amazing. Would you mind sharing what were some of those things that you struggled with at the beginning before you and Ashley started getting together and talking about stuff?
I was in denial. I told Trina her test was wrong, I think. I said, you need to do my sugar again. Because I said, I just ate one before I came. Something like that, you know. It took a while to realize, you know, this is the card you were dealt. This is the hand you're dealt. You've got to figure out how to deal with it. Just being at, I was still working then. So I had the stress of work. And eating. I loved lunchroom food. We had Prairie Central has some of the best cooks ever. And they treated their teachers good. So, you know, I'd walk in there. I wouldn't just get a regular serving. They'd take care of me. And I finally had to, that is one time I said, okay, guys, I just need regular serving. And I explained to them why. Because I was struggling. And I didn't have the guidance yet. So, you know, but now I'm okay with that. But it was heavy. It was heavy. That's all, you know, and I feel like a weight is lifted now that I have some control and I have some education behind what's going on. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And that kind of thing is hard because then having that conversation, you have to talk about having diabetes. Yes. And then it can just feel weird. And what you said earlier about not being ashamed of it, that's a huge step to take.
It very much is. I mean, I don't care. People see my glucose monitor. What's that? What's wrong with you? We were at the diabetic symposium. Ashley had asked me to be on the patient panel. And after it was over, there was a lady there that knew me. And she came up and apologized. She said, I'm so sorry you have diabetes. And I'm like, well, there's nothing to be sorry about. I'm learning how to handle it. But it's almost, I don't know. There's some kind of sense people don't want to talk about it. It's like you said, it's heredity and I'm going to get it no matter what, da da da. Just don't want to talk about it. It's got to be talked about. If you want to mentally get yourself there, you've got to not be ashamed and just say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't have that piece of cake right now. I'm diabetic. If it's somebody who doesn't know, you know, so they don't think you're just turning them down, so they understand why. You just can't be ashamed. And we're Appalachian people, and we have very much, we're prideful. I mean, you come from a long line of people who are very prideful. And you keep your family secrets to yourself, so say. But this is something you can't keep. You've got to have support for it. You've got to be able to talk about it. You can ask some of my family after my first meeting with Ashley. I think they got tired of hearing. Because I was like, this is what she told me. This is how you do it. And I have an aunt right now who's working through. She was considered diabetic. And I'm like, you need to come to the support group. You know, I'm trying to help them. I'm sure they're ready to tell me to hush. But you've got to be able to talk about it. You've got to have that support. You know, and if me talking about it to somebody gives a little extra support somebody, that's awesome. You know, pass it along.
Yeah, that's also amazing. And Ashley wanted to ask, so we mentioned support groups just now, and I know that ARH has support groups all over East Kentucky. And could you talk about that a little bit? I know it's almost for a reason that is sad and hard that there are so many people in the region that we all know that are dealing with it, but it does mean that there's a lot of support available for listeners in so many different counties. And so could you talk about that?
Yeah, so in 2022 we noticed that there were no support groups coming back after COVID, and so we knew that we needed that support, especially then. So we started out with three locations in Big Sandy: Paintsville, Prestonsburg, and Williamson. And now I'm so proud to say that this first quarter we will have our ninth location starting, and we also offer a Zoom option for those people that can't come in person. We always meet the last Thursday of each month. We have a different topic with a guest speaker. This month is going to be emergency preparedness. Next month is neuropathy. We just go, you know, over different topics that are related to diabetes that people really need to know more about. I choose a diabetes-friendly recipe. This year we are doing recipe makeovers. So how to take our favorite foods and our comfort foods and to transport them into diabetes-friendly recipes. And then each location has a food demonstration. They take home the recipe so that they can make that themselves. They can replicate that on their own. But they taste it right there in the meeting. And they can decide if they like it or don't, and try a lot of new foods that they may have never tried, you know, before in the past outside of there. So I love the support groups. They are a wonderful way to come together with people that are going through the same things that you are. You learn and really become a family. Everybody is so welcoming. And then, you know, the guest speakers and the food, it's just a wonderful added support to the diabetes education that we provide.
That's amazing. And could you run through the counties that you're in real quick?
So we have locations in Paintsville, Prestonsburg, South Williamson, Beckley, West Virginia, Hyden, Hazard, Letcher, and Hyndman. Uh-huh. And then we have our Zoom option. Anyone that can't come to a meeting in person or is in a location away from one of our in-person areas can join on Zoom. And I put the handouts and the recipe in the chat, so you're getting the same. You just don't get a sample of the recipe. And then in April, we are set to expand Domingo County.
That's the last Thursday of the month?
Last Thursday of each month. Uh-huh. And we have different times. You can go on arh.org/diabetes, and has all the links to the different locations.
Cool. Well, so the last thing I had in mind to ask is, these changes that you've made, How do you feel about them going forward? How do you feel about managing diabetes going forward? Do you feel like the changes you've made can stick?
Yes, they're going to stick because I know I have to. You know, I'll be honest, I'm turning 55 pretty soon here in March, and, you know, I know I've got to stick to that if I want to live longer than, say, 65, you know. And people kid, oh, I turned 50 and I'm falling apart. I felt like that. I did, because it was around that time when I found out I had diabetes. And I thought, you know, everything's just breaking down. But then, you know, now I know I don't have to just let it go. I know what to do to take care of it. Can't necessarily reverse it, but I can get it to where it needs to be, that it's controlled. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ashley, once you're diagnosed, you've got it for life.
Yep. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It can go into what we call remission, but you do have diabetes for type 2 for the rest of your life. You can go off of medications, but you still got to make sure that you're eating right, taking care of yourself, getting in that physical activity. You know, it has to be a lifestyle change.
So that's, you know, it's a lifestyle change. Like I said, my hobbies are sedentary, but I know I've got to get up and move. And there's days you just don't want to. And so I feel accomplished on those days. If I just get up and walk around inside my house a couple times, I've got up and moved. I've not just stayed sedentary. But I know I've got to do it. It's just the mindset now. And that has taken a lot to change that. And sometimes I slip. I know I do. But then I think, okay, you've got to get back on the wagon. You've got to do this. So, yeah, it's tough. But it's a lifestyle change. Once you change a habit, you change it different. It's going to stick. It's going to become the new habit. So that right now, I'm in that process of making everything a new habit. So, yeah, but it's there to stay and I have to do it. So there we go.
Ashley, Melissa, thank y'all so much.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to a conversation with Melissa Moore of Perry County and Ashley Webb, a diabetes educator with ARH. And we brought you this conversation today because National Diabetes Alert Day is coming up on March 26th. It's an annual call for all of us to think about our diabetes risk and if there are ways we might be able to manage diabetes differently to feel better, or even to prevent diabetes altogether. This conversation was part of our ongoing series, Prevent Diabetes EKY. And for more local stories of preventing and managing type 2, check out our project website, preventdiabeteseky.org. And that's it for Mountain Talk today. Thanks so much for listening. For WMMT, I'm Parker Hobson.